Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Exit interview with the Cincinnati Bearcats and a lot of college football news to get to. Good morning. It is Wednesday, January 5th. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. I'm recording this in a hotel room looking over the Alamo in San Antonio on my AirPods because we are down here for the All-American Bowl week. Been an interesting few days due to health and safety protocols. Players are being swapped in and out down here, so it's certainly unusual. It's been an added twist to the All-American Bowl. So make sure you're locked into 24/7 Sports for the latest on roster additions and also, of course, top performers and the usual stuff from practices. So we've got everything up from Tuesday to go check out. We've got an interview today with Chad Brindle of Bearcat Journal, the 24/7 Sports Cincinnati site, doing an exit interview with the playoff teams who lost this week, just like we did last year. Cincinnati, of course, lost to Alabama 27-6 in the Cotton Bowl Classic last week, capping a 13-1 season, the best in school history for Cincinnati. Entered the year ranked 8th in the AP poll, currently ranked 4th. Would love to see the Bearcats finish in the top 5. There is a lot to discuss with them because the team that you watched in 2021, most of it will depart in 2022. New quarterback, very likely the entire fleet of frontline stars that you know and love for Cincinnati will be gone as well. But Luke Fickell will return, which a lot of people did not think would have happened if you had polled them in mid-October. So we'll have a conversation with Chad. A few news and nuggets before we get to that. The Athletic is reporting that Jim Harbaugh it might be interested in a return to the NFL, specifically the Las Vegas Raiders. That is according to Bruce Feldman, who is citing reports on both the NFL and the Michigan side of things. There's enough smoke here to where you wonder this isn't just a contract renegotiation ploy since Harbaugh took that pay cut a year ago to drop from $8 million to $4. Obviously, he deserves to get back to $8 million. He just took his team to the playoff and they beat Ohio State for the first time in a decade. Maybe he thinks he deserves a little bit more. It's hard to argue with him with James Franklin getting 10 and Mel Tucker getting 9. So is this a ploy or does Harbaugh really want to go back to the NFL where you don't have to transfer portal, you don't have to recruit, and life's probably a little bit easier? Speaking of transfer portal, my goodness, this thing won't stop. We did a top 10 transfers available. Brad Crawford citing the 24/7 Sports transfer rankings on Tuesday morning. And then a few hours later, the Oklahoma star receiver, Mario Williams. I say star, I think he'll get there. He's very solid as a freshman and, in fact, was a true freshman All-American for 24/7 Sports, former elite recruit out of South Florida. He officially hit the portal. That has been expected. We will see where he ends up. He was given a rating of 94 in the transfer portal, making him a top 10 recruit and then thus obviously a top 10 available target. In fact, if you look at the top 10 players currently on 24/7 Sports' transfer rankings, the number one player, Caleb Williams, leaving Oklahoma, and then the number 7 player, Mario Williams, he's leaving Oklahoma. So a year after Oklahoma raided Tennessee in the transfer portal, it looks like the Sooners are, they already lost Jaden Hazelwood. Maybe they'll lose Marvin Mims. So it's a interesting time, to say the least, for Brent Venables. But of course, the Sooners did bring in Dylan Gabriel, who ranks as the number 11 overall prospect in the transfer portal. He was committed less than 24 hours ago to UCLA, and he flipped to Oklahoma to be Jeff Lebby, the new offensive coordinator, his new quarterback. So the transfer portal keeps turning, keeps spinning. I highly recommend you follow Chris Hummer and the work he's doing with the 24/7 Sports transfer portal account. Speaking of transfer portal, again, another segue. This is my second straight segue about transfer portal. Here's Chad Brindle, and he does mention the fact that Cincinnati might indeed hit the portal for a quarterback. Chad Brindle joins us right now. Chad, appreciate your time. I know it's been busy. I know you've probably got a lot of NFL draft declarations to cover as well. Tell me a little bit about who you think is leaving the best Cincinnati team in school history. And is there anyone that the national audience would know who they can expect back in 2022 other than Luke Fickell?
We're getting the two biggest names, I think, that were potentially in question, but probably not, over the last 2 days have declared, and running back Jerome Ford, and then obviously junior cornerback Ahmad Sauce Gardner today put his name in the draft. Because of the way this thing played out, most of the guys have exhausted their eligibility and their COVID year that are in question. So Cincinnati's losing quite a bit. You know, Desmond Ridder could have had an extra year, but that's all but a foregone conclusion that he'll be in the NFL draft as well. Same with probably Myjai Sanders, who could have had a COVID year, but the expectation is that he will be draft bound. The decisions to come back are, you know, there's six or seven guys that could continue on with this team, including potentially starters on defense and Malik Van, Javon Hicks, Wilson Huber, who was a second team linebacker, potentially could come back. And then the two tight ends, I think, are the biggest questions right now, in Leonard Taylor and Josh Wiley. Both have, you know, solid NFL grades, but it's a really deep draft for tight ends. So there is a possibility that one or both of those could be back at Cincinnati. Those decisions are still being, you know, kind of worked through. So we'll anxiously await to see where that goes and how that plays out for next year.
What kind of expectations then do you think fans should have and will have for 2022? It's never easy to, I mean, goodness, like the year Cincinnati had, right? I think changes the program expectations, right? The long term of it, and, yeah, and the Big 12 will help too. My sense, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, and I love Evan Prater, and I'm guessing here he'll be the quarterback, and we can talk about that in a second. But my sense here is the long term outlook looks bright, but let's not expect 2022 to be just easy or something, I think.
Yeah. Well, quarterback will be interesting. You know, Prater will have certainly a shot. I do expect them to bring in a veteran quarterback through the transfer portal, just because it's a really young quarterback room. Prater's going into his redshirt sophomore year. Brady Lichtenberg, redshirt freshman. And then they got a really good quarterback signed for 2022 and Luther Richeson, who played really well at the Elite 11. But you don't have any experience in that room. So I would expect them to dip their toe in the transfer portal, looking for a veteran quarterback and somebody that can compete, legitimately compete with Prater to win the job. How that plays out over spring and into summer camp will have a long way to go in how Cincinnati performs in 2022. Obviously, it's really hard to replace somebody that, you know, put up 43 wins, the third most all time in college football, in Desmond Ridder. So there's going to be a lot of talent back, but there's going to be a serious hole in leadership and experience that needs to be replaced going into 2022.
Well, the recruiting's been great, as you've mentioned, and you know they're going to have the chops to hit the portal and grab someone good. What do you think Cincinnati, though, learned about itself, Chad, in the college football playoff as Luke Fickell sort of reloads and gets this thing going again, you know, with a different foundation? Like, what do you think he saw on tape or just self-scouted and knew that he has to, you know, granted the best, again, an incredible team, but like, what's the next step?
I think the next step is continuing to recruit and develop on the offensive and defensive lines. You could tell that was really, and you know, everybody knows this coming in, when you face an Alabama, you know, one of the Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, their advantages are so clearly in the trenches, not only with, you know, the frontline depth, but with the guys behind them that they can rotate in. And that's where Alabama was simply better than Cincinnati in the Cotton Bowl. So that has to continue. But I mean, they had the talent on the outside. They did a really nice job slowing down Bryce Young and Jameson Williams. And they're almost, you know, getting into that echelon of where they need to be consistency. But I think there just needs to continue to be an upgrade, a rise in the recruiting and development on both the offensive and defensive lines.
It's the conference realignment and the timeline for this stuff to all play out. It's something I'm having a hard time getting my arms around, because, you know, Texas and Oklahoma could stay in the Big 12 for a few more years, or there's rumors that they're going to be gone this summer. And if they can get the money together, what is the timeline that you know of? Maybe it's set in stone for Cincinnati and the other new Big 12 schools to officially join.
The company line right now is 2024, but I think everyone quietly has their sights set on the 2023 season. They won't say it out loud, but I do think that's where everybody is hoping these four teams can join the Big 12. Now, BYU is joining in 2023. Obviously, they don't have a conference to get out of. So it seems like a foregone conclusion that they'll be there in 2023. I think Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF would all like to be there as well. It doesn't sound like Mike Oresko is going to put up too much of a fight on that front, other than, you know, they're going to want their exit fee money, as they should. But 2023, I would be a little surprised if they're not there at that point in time.
Have you allowed yourself to start to think about where Cincinnati fits in the new Big 12 pecking order, say, come 2023 with like, you know, I mean, Baylor looks good. Oklahoma State looks good. Iowa State, yeah. Kansas State, but Cincinnati's going to be up there.
Yeah. If you look at the recruiting, they've been right in that kind of pocket of like third, fourth, fifth over the past couple of years, which will be, you know, the roster that they'll take into the Big 12. I think if they can make a big splash in the 2023 class, then you're looking at a roster that's ready to compete right as soon as you hit the ground running in the Big 12. So they're not far off. And it's interesting because when you looked at the Big 12, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, you would think, man, this team's going to really need to have some offensive firepower. But that league is kind of seeing the pendulum shift and swing back towards the defensive side of the ball. And if it's going to be a defense league, like we saw from Oklahoma State this year, like we saw from Baylor this year, Iowa State's defense has been stout. Kansas State's defense has been stout. With Luke Fickell at the helm, Cincinnati's going to come in and be right there at the top of the league defensively, in a league that has kind of gotten away from those, 54-49 shootouts and looked more like kind of a speed but power defense league as well. So I think that bodes very well for Cincinnati, the way that the Big 12 is trending in terms of style of play.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I appreciate, as a Big 12 guy, I appreciate you noticing that people still think Mahomes and Mayfield are in this league, but it's, Baylor wins the Big 12, and by forcing, four interceptions, yeah, from Oklahoma State, and then, beats Ole Miss 21-7 in the Sugar Bowl. Last question for you. You mentioned Luke Fickell. Give me a little bit of behind the scenes of what has played out in the last month with the Oklahoma rumors, and maybe Notre Dame was in the mix, and how Luke Fickell made the decision to stay, and how long you think he will, in fact, be at Cincinnati now.
The interesting thing is that when you deal with Luke Fickell, he is very much a man of his word, which is extremely rare in the college sports landscape right now. Anybody that had interest, he was open and very honest about the fact that I've got a job to finish this year. And, if you're interested in talking and you want to wait until after the season's over and give me a call, we can talk then. But as I'm completing this journey with this team and going into the college football playoff, I'm not going to have a distraction kind of derail what these kids have worked for. So if there was an opportunity, and I'm sure there was, I'm sure Notre Dame would love to have had an audience with him. Oklahoma, I think that would have been kind of a bit of a strange fit with them heading into the SEC and Luke being such a, Midwest, Ohio-centric guy. But I'm sure they would have liked to have at least talked to him and seen what he had to say. But he does things his own way and kind of, to the beat of his own drum. And that was making it very clear that, I'm going to be the head coach at Cincinnati through the playoff. And if you want to talk after, we can talk. None of the jobs were really available at that point in time. So Cincinnati gets to keep him another year. The encouraging thing, if you're a Cincinnati fan, is that he continues to talk about where the program continues to grow over the next 3 to 5 years. And that's a good sign that, while other things may come up, his focus is going to be pretty directly on continuing to build Cincinnati into what his vision is. And that's Cincinnati becoming not a top 10 team, but a top 10 program. They just announced over the fall a new indoor practice facility project that is going through the fundraising phase now and should be open by 2024, 2025. So he's getting pretty much everything he wants, and he still sees the challenge at Cincinnati to continue pushing forward. And as long as that continues, there's a pretty good chance he's going to be at Cincinnati. The one thing about this cycle, Trey, that really makes things interesting is there's not a whole lot of high level jobs left to come open that weren't open this cycle. So you're looking at another, and who knows anymore with, we see coaches gone after 2 years, right? But you're looking at another 3, 4, 5 years with a lot of these jobs before they cycle open again. Obviously you keep an eye on Ohio State, but like even
I was just going to say
Franklin.
Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
Penn State with James Franklin, he just signed a 9-year, 10-year deal, whatever it was. Like, doesn't look like Penn State's coming open for a long time. So it's very interesting the way that this cycle went, because a lot of the chips fell in Cincinnati's favor, to where there's a pretty good chance Luke Fickell sticks around at Cincinnati for a while now.
I think so too. And I started laughing to Chad when he said Ohio State. I was like, man, it's going to be our luck. We'll post this 4 days later. The Bears hire Matt Nagy and make a run at Ryan Day or something. So,
but you know, it's interesting. Yeah. We've heard with Ohio State, like, they really like Brian Hartline. Like, there's no guarantee. It's not a slam dunk that, you know, Luke Fickell would automatically be their number one choice. They've went down that road before and it didn't work. Do I think Luke's a better coach now than he was, you know, 7-8 years ago? Absolutely. Or 10 years ago, whatever it was. Absolutely. But there's no guarantee that Ohio State instantly zeroes in on Luke Fickell.
That's good insight. Chad Brindle, we appreciate you a lot. Great job this season. And thanks for coming on the College Football Daily.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Trey.
All right. Thanks so much to Chad for joining us. We appreciate it. Pardon me for the long rambling monologue, by the way. It's been a long day here in San Antonio. Brain's fried, and we're just trying to get through the week at this point. So our producer is Lance Thin. My name is Trey Scott. Plenty more to talk about the rest of the week. Now, none of this news is ever going to slow down, and we will never, ever have a college football offseason again. Talk to you on Thursday.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.